Hey y'all, my name is Rachel. I have a new life in Christ. I am recovering from the effects of childhood sexual abuse. Hey. I am happy to celebrate with you all the healing that God has begun in my life. And while I know he is not finished yet, I can rejoice because Psalm 116, 5 through 6 says, "The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me." My mother left when I was 2. My stepmom and half-sister moved out at age 5. And by the time I was 6 years old, my live-in uncle had begun sexually abusing me. Due to his role as a live-in babysitter and my unbeknownst fear of abandonment, I clung to him quickly. He lived in our family room and routinely allowed me to stay up late to watch TV, but the age-appropriate shows quickly transitioned into pornographic movies. He sexually abused me and took advantage of my impressionable age. These nightly rituals became routine, and I thought it was normal. I thought this was love. The abuse continued for 9 years. I was bribed with gifts and trips to the park, but also threatened to keep silent. I lived in fear of my safety and those whom I loved. He lived in fear that I would tell someone, but I never did. For 16 years, I never told a soul. I was ashamed and afraid. The physical pattern of abuse ended around age 10, and I thought the bad parts were over. But he continued in other ways, like exposing himself, making sexual gestures, calling me explicit names, and an inappropriate interest in my body. It was in Shelter, the women's sexual abuse ministry, that I learned the entire definition of sexual abuse. Any sexual conduct, visual, verbal, or physical, engaged in without consent to meet another person's physical or sexual desires. Sometimes we convince ourselves that because a situation could be worse, that it's not worth acknowledging or that it doesn't really affect us. I thought he had stopped abusing me, but the truth is his words and actions were impactful and they affected me greatly. When my dad wasn't away from home, sometimes working 3 jobs at a time, he was emotionally absent, relying on me to nurture my siblings. He was regularly angry, throwing things, screaming profanities, and slamming doors. A typical response to my emotions was to suck it up. The culmination of these events led me to believe that I was bad. I did not believe I was good enough for anyone, especially God. After my uncle moved out and coerced my 17-year-old brother, who he had physically abused for years, to go with him, I spiraled into depression. That depression manifested into anger, loneliness, and suicidal thoughts. My anger resulted in people-pleasing, violence, and manipulation to feel powerful or to just be accepted. I acted on anticipation of who others wanted me to be. I was often called a tease as I would talk about promiscuity, but I wouldn't follow through. Conflict with friends usually led me to pulling hair, slapping, or yelling profanities until they promised to remain my friend. The only time I heard the Lord's name was when it was taken in vain. As a little girl, I thought the face on the moon was God. I thought I knew how to pray, but really, I was just bartering with a God I didn't know. I was losing hope. I felt as if no one cared, and yet God never stopped pursuing me. One night at 16 years old, while seriously contemplating suicide, I received a text message from the boy I now call my husband. I know now that God had his hand in that interaction all along. Sean took me to church right away, and at 19, I was baptized. However, my life did not look different. I understood my decision to profess Christ as my Savior, but my understanding of forgiveness and salvation was weak. I participated in acceptable sin, like gossiping, people-pleasing, perfectionism, but I was also participating in the sin of premarital sex. I knew right from wrong, but I didn't know how to give up sin. I hung on to the lie that the abuse was my fault. False guilt followed me everywhere. It fueled my anger and my desire to control. When my plans were derailed in the slightest, I would throw a tantrum, yell, slam doors, then cry hysterically. When I could not gain control over my boyfriend or my friends or even my surroundings, I would feel anxious, angry, again, thinking it was my fault, and I would tailspin into pity and depression with thoughts of suicide. I enrolled in shelter to confront my sexual abuse and the side effects, which I did not think was anger. I thought I would be able to erase the memories of my past with a few quick tricks and be healed for marriage, which was only 3 months away. I went into group refusing to forgive my uncle and unwilling to discuss the lies that I believed and the grief that I felt. But God used the leaders and the ladies in my group to pry open my heart and peel back layers of hurts. Through the process of shedding light in the darkness, God was preparing my heart for things to come. 1 week after Sean and I were married in 2012, I received a call from my older cousin to tell me that our uncle had been arrested for sexually abusing a 10-year-old. She asked me if he had ever done anything to me, and I was able to admit it to her that he had. I discovered that he also had 3 warrants out for his arrest from a sexual assault case in 1993. Because he lived in my home, I was asked to testify to his whereabouts during the time he was a fugitive. During that process, I learned that the statute of limitations had not ended and, in fact, no longer existed in the state of Texas. I decided to file charges for the crime he committed against me so that it could not happen to another victim. I had spent most of my life minimizing the abuse and hiding behind fear of retribution. In his almighty grace, God showed me that my uncle's actions are criminal and punishable by law. My dad and my siblings were unsupportive. Thankfully, God gave me a group of women and a loving husband to stand behind me. Having a strong support system was important when I needed to be prayed for and directed back to Scripture. I started shelter with 0 intentions of forgiving my perpetrator, but ultimately God changed my heart and he gave me the courage I needed to forgive my uncle. Not because what happened no longer hurt me or that his time in prison would make it okay or all better, but because my unforgiveness was only keeping me in the shame that God wants me free from. My unforgiveness was not affecting my uncle, but it was causing more bitterness in my own life. I thought holding on to unforgiveness gave me control, that it was something I could let go when I was good and ready to do so. I learned, though, that it's a leap of faith that Jesus calls me to because of the sacrifice he made on the cross. It has been a daily reminder for me to lean more onto Christ and less on my own understanding, Proverbs 3:5. Even though I had chosen to act in obedience and forgive my uncle, I was still deeply angry. I was angry with my dad, who was neglectful and aggressive. I prayed for God to relieve me of my anger toward him. After I confronted him, that prayer was answered. I was not met with deep remorse or even apologies from him for his actions, but I forgave him. I forgive not because it feels satisfying, but because through the act of faithfulness, Christ satisfied me, who will satisfy your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalm 103:5. Since then, I have reconciled a relationship with my dad, and I have seen tremendous change in him that can only be explained by the Holy Spirit, a softening of his heart made possible from seeing an act of Christ-likeness. As much as I try to control my circumstances and rest in my self-sufficiency, I can do nothing without his strength and his guidance. My attitude and perceptions were not changed overnight, and they weren't changed just through the shelter curriculum. The Lord used shelter and the wonderful leaders and participants within it to change my heart. Walking through the doors over 6 years ago, I never thought I'd serve in shelter. I never thought I'd be so willing to share my testimony. And I never dreamed that my story would take me across the world to teach in Mombasa, Kenya, Africa. When I was invited, I originally thought, surely they sent this email to the wrong person. As I prepared to teach on topics like grief, justice, and our identity in Christ, it was made apparent to me that I was still holding on to lies that were stifling my spiritual growth. I was still choosing to believe that my story is not impactful. On our first day in Kenya, a woman stood shocked to learn that in America, women are experiencing abuse and neglect. She said, "We are all the same." And it's true. We are all made in the image of God, created for relationship with others and broken by the sins of the world. But we are all redeemable by Christ. When I find myself retelling the lies embedded so deeply in my heart, I stop to feel the embossed overlay of Christ's truths, and then I have hope. I have hope realizing that we live in a fallen world, but when we trust Christ, he can restore our lives. I know this full well because he is restoring mine. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." If you are new here, I want to assure you that you are loved, you are not alone, and it is not too late. Jesus was criticized, abused, tortured. He was left for dead on the cross. But the story of Jesus does not end there. He rose from the grave. He conquered death. He proved once and for all that his promises are true. My story did not end with my abuse. This journey of healing is not easy, but you are in a good and safe place. Look around. You will see his continued, unfailing mercy and love all around. Hold tight to the truth that there is hope in Christ. My name is Rachel. I have a new life in Christ as a victor of past sexual abuse. I have hope that because the stone was rolled away and Jesus overcame death, that through him, anyone can overcome the trauma of sexual abuse or the bondage of sin. Thanks.